The title of today's sermon again is The Fall of Mankind. And this is part two. So, we go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. I'll just read it, and then I'll link you back to the last message. Now the serpent was more cunning. Someone say cunning. Than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, as God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst, or in the middle, or at the center of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. So technically speaking, God has lied. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they, verse 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Verse 10, so he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is it? What is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. Okay, that's where we stop for today's sermon. In the next part, we're going to take it further from verse 14. But for today, you know, we just stop there so that we just have enough time to unpack this. So I just saw, as I was reading, I just saw something. The Holy Spirit just pointed something to me. I'll show you later. Okay. So remember last time we talked about the fact that it was God's idea to make the garden. It was not man's idea. I mean, like in today's world now, it's our idea in our... Also, in the rat race of life, you are trying to make a garden. I don't mean the garden for planting herbs and vegetables. I mean a nice home, a nice car, a nice job, a fat salary. These are all your attempts to make the garden. Yeah? A peaceful, loving home. Yeah? Savings in the bank. These are all man's attempts. Since man lost the garden, all man has been seeking to do is to get back into what? The garden. A place of comfort and rest. A place of delight. Yeah? But it was God's idea. Before man ever woke up, before man ever had any consciousness, God planted the garden. The first waking thought of Adam was in the garden. Praise the Lord. Genesis 2 said, the Lord planted the garden and he put the man into the garden. Amen? So it's not God trying to take away the garden. Can you just say that? We say it's not God trying to take away the garden from me. Because it was his idea. And we established last time that, however, before man was created, he already had an adversary. The adversary did not come into your life because of you. The adversary got his ministry before you were born. Hallelujah. He said, that's why 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober and what? be vigilant. He said, why? Because your adversary, it doesn't matter whether you are gentle or aggressive. It doesn't matter whether you go to look for people's trouble or you sit back. I can see that. I can see some signs of... because it's getting colder now, isn't it? So I just... It's not totally fully closed, but I've tightened it a bit. Amen? Hallelujah. Someone says, I'm just minding my own business. You can be minding your business, but the adversary never minds his business. Amen? He never minds his business. There was a garden. But the adversary found his way into the garden. That's why he said that you should be sober and you should be what? Vigilant. So that you can keep the adversary off. Praise the Lord. You know, remember last time we read and said, it's God's job to provide the garden. But it's our job to do what? To tend it and keep it. Oh, let me change it. I'll say, if you want to keep it, you have to tend it. Hallelujah. If God has brought something good into your life, and you want to keep it, then you got to what? You got to tend it, because there's an adversary. Amen? So this is just a reminder of what we've done last time, but let's take it deeper. Yeah? The serpent came into the garden. Well, obviously, we're not just talking about an animal here. Who was the real serpent behind the physical serpent? Yes, who? You know that, of course. Where's my... Yes, I found it. The serpent came into the garden. And was there, the serpent was more cunning than all the beasts of the field. So he was actually talking about an animal. But who was the real serpent inside the serpent? Yes?
Satan.
It was Satan. So, let me... We may not appreciate this now because it's been 6,000 years since this happened, this temptation. So when you see the serpent in its current state, you cannot understand when the Bible says that it was more cunning or it was more shrewd, because the serpent you see today is a cursed version. Amen? In the Garden of Eden, no animal was wild. The wildness of the animals is a consequence of the curse. Germs, viruses were not wild. They were not created to be causing harm. It's the curse that turned everything upside down. Once the ground is cursed, everything that comes from the ground and feeds from the ground, you know, receives it. So, when the adversary wanted to come in, it used the most cunning animal. And maybe I should change that word from cunning. Why don't we use the word... The serpent was the most captivating of all the beasts. Because basically, if you want to tempt someone, you use something that can attract them. Something that can capture their imagination. Amen? And I have an idea. I have an idea because in the Bible, when I see the serpent, I see two animals. I see the snake. But Revelation also shows us that the old serpent is also what? The dragon. Amen? He said, the great red dragon. And he said, that's the serpent of old. So that means that the serpent could have taken the form of a snake, as we see it now, but because we know that the serpent was caused to go on his belly, it is conceivable that it was not going on his belly. I mean, if it's going on his belly now as a curse, that means that before it was cursed, it was not going on his belly. Does that make sense? And if it was not going on his belly, it is conceivable to reason and say maybe the serpent had hands and feet. And if the serpent had hands and feet, then we can see the picture of a dragon. Or in modern language, a dinosaur. So say, oh, there are no dinosaurs in the Bible. There are. It's just that dinosaur is a new name. Amen? Dinosaur is a new name. If you check all the myths and all the stories, you hear about dragons. Yeah? In whatever culture, you hear about dragons. Go to China. Even UK. You have, is it St. George? Anybody know about St. George? I'm not talking about George here. Can anyone tell me, George, do you know about St. George, the knife? Yes, okay. Do you know about St. George of England? Okay, St. George. Anybody help me? So there's a knight in England called St. George who fought the dragon. Anybody knows that story? No, I mean in England, there is a knight called Saint George. Yes, thank you. Do you know the story behind it? Okay. Amen. Anybody know? Saint George, the patron saint. Come on. Someone's going to help me. I mean, you always have ideas. Tell us. So this is local. This is England. And England has a story. If you go to London, you will see a statue to Saint George. Yeah? And what is the story behind that statue or that Saint George? And in fact, actually, there's a day of the year dedicated to Saint George. Am I right? Yes. Anybody knows that day? Okay. But tell us the story. Just a quick version. This is his version.
Okay, yeah. I think he was a patron saint of England and fought against the Welsh dragon and defeated it. So, obviously, this was before it was a United Kingdom.
So, you know, sometimes we hear these stories and you think, you know, the people who lived before us were very stupid. And everything that they said happened to them was just stupidity. It didn't happen. It's like just denying your history. Yeah? People have faced dragons. Yeah? That's why you have those stories coming out. Yeah? So the dragons you see in the Bible are the dinosaurs. Yeah? That are of today. It's just a name. They've gone extinct, but it's the same. So coming back to what I'm saying. So just imagine the serpent as a dinosaur. As a hands, feet, very captivating. Very shrewd, very cunning. I hope you can get a better picture of why Eve would have been captivated. He was, actually, if we change the word, we can also say he was the smartest. What you see now, of course, is the cursed version. Now the serpent or the dinosaur was the smartest of all the animals. Does it make better sense? You can picture it. Amen? So the devil, which is Satan, takes hold of the smartest, the wisest. He said, be wise as serpents. Is that in the Bible? of the most beautiful thing. Satan can take hold of the most beautiful thing and turn it into the most cursed thing. That's what he does. That's his business. He comes to steal and to kill and to what? And to destroy. And he doesn't come in his form. Satan never comes in his real form. He comes in a form that is captivating. You know, last week or 2 weeks ago, I was looking at some of our young people. I saw a young person in the church and I could see almost 4 rings on their finger. So what is he doing there? Maybe just captivates her. It has no purpose. You just put 4 rings on your finger. You're not married. You're not in a relationship. You just want to just drag your body with metal. It's because it's captivating you. Are you with me? That's how the devil tries to capture you with whatever is captivating. It never comes in its real form. Do you see what I mean? It never comes in its real form. So I thought I should just open that up. So because you may wonder, why would Eve just fall like that? Yeah? She must have been captivated. Praise the Lord. So, now let's take it forward. I have a question. How did this serpent deceive Eve? It's a simple one. From that story, what did he do to get Eve off track? Because Eve knew that she's not to eat of that tree. But she also knew that she could eat of every other tree. You see, the ability to eat of every other tree is the goodness of God. Yeah? The command not to eat of one tree is God reserving something for himself. It's the place of consecration. In consecration, you know that although you have access to everything, you yourself belong to God. Amen? Amen? Not to eat that says You are not the owner of everything. Yeah? You respond to me. You submit to me. You give me my place. And that guarantees that you can continue to enjoy what I have given. Idolatry, yeah, is to love the creation more than the creator. And many people are in idolatry in the world today. That version of idolatry is what is called materialism. I mean, like today, this week we went out to preach and we knocked the door. Well, I followed David. He knocked the door and we saw this man, probably he's in his late 30s or mid 30s. And we asked him all the questions and he was, no, he's not interested. And all the while he was stroking his beautiful dog. You know, and I was just, the dog was beautiful. Small, cute, beautiful, just stroking it. I was just thinking in my mind, what a shame. This animal you're stroking, you didn't make it. You didn't make it. Yeah? But you're giving it more attention. Yeah? But you have no time for the one who made you. You are enjoying the creation, but you are denying the creator. That's Romans chapter 1. That's idolatry. Idolatry. Praise the Lord. Question. Why was Eve deceived? Yeah, I'm asking this question because I don't want to be deceived. So let's examine that story. If you can find out how Eve was deceived, it's the same way any person or any believer, because Eve was a believer because she has received the word of God. I don't mean she's born again. I mean, she has received the word of God. And up to that point, she believed that word. Yeah? She corrected the serpent and said, God did not say we can't eat. He said, we can eat, but we can't eat this one. Because the day we eat it, we what? So up to that point, she believed that word. So why was she deceived? Yes?
I think Eve knew that, you know, she had that knowledge of good and evil. She knew she wasn't meant to eat of that tree, but I think it's her satisfying her curiosity, like what would happen.
You think it's curiosity?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Any other answer? Any different answer actually? Look at the story, read it.
Well, you're special. Surely God won't, yeah. You know.
So, surely God won't. Yes, any other person? Why was Eve deceived? Check your Bible. Just read. Is it the type of question I'm asking you? You need to read it again. Just read it. Search it. Look at verse. I show you. The answer there is in verse 1 to 3. Yes, there was clever language, I agree. Because I just checked it. Eve told the serpent, lest you die. So, serpent is coming back to you. You may die, but you will not surely die. But God said to Adam, you shall surely die. Yes, please go on.
I think the reason is because the serpent said, yeah, so you surely, you won't die, but it will make your eyes open. It will make you wise. So he made it look like actually it's good for you because there's a good reason why to eat it.
Yes, you are developing the answer. I like the way it's developing. Yes, any other person you want to
add to that? Come on, church. Come on. Yeah.
I don't know, but looking at the question, the way he asked, it's like, did he really? I'm looking at real life sometimes when someone is like cunning, they don't want to say this is wrong or this is right. They try to push it towards you to actually think a bit broader from the answer, which is just yes or no. So it's like, did he really? That's, I don't know.
Because, you see, you have an idea. Let's try it. Yes.
So he also said that you would be like God. So I think Eve thought, wow, so I can actually be like God, knowing good and evil. She thought, right, that's a good reason.
Yes. Okay. One more. I like that. Yes.
I, be-
believe she didn't believe that she was like God already. She had that nature. And she thought she could be something more than she was.
Thank you. Let me start from the first answer. Because I thought like that too, you know, when I was younger, that it was curiosity. Well, you see, curiosity never came up until verse 5 or verse 4. If you see, let's just show you that. So, Genesis 3, are you with me? Go to verse 6. This is a teaching. It's line upon line. Verse 6. Can someone read verse 6 to me? Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. Amen. That curiosity did not happen until verse 6. As at verse 6, Eve was already distracted. Amen. Eve was not curious about that tree before verse 6. Until the serpent came and said some things and she was distracted. Then she saw. Are you following? He just tried to explain to you how temptation happens. Something has happened in her mind, in her spirit. And so what she was not seeing before, she started to see. Are you with me? So just taking from your answers. For the serpent to deceive Eve, he has to tell her a lie. It makes sense. I always tell my children, I say, look, you may not think you are saying a lie, but if you deceive me, you are lying. That's the meaning. Even if you've not said it. You know, you've not said it, but you've done it in such a way that I'm deceived. You've lied to me. So I said, you know, who threw that down? That happened in our house yesterday. Someone threw something down. So two of my sons were involved, yeah? So I'm like, Kevin, did you do it? He didn't say yes, he didn't say no. Well, yes, he just called Ryan. Ryan, you go answer daddy. He has not lied to me. You see that? But he has given me the impression that he may have something to do with Ryan. Of course, I got to the bottom of the matter. To deceive is to lie. To lie is to deceive. Make sense? The serpent necessarily, or Satan, had to sell her a lie. Yeah? What was the lie? Number one, God has not told you the whole truth. Which means that God is a liar. And that happens. It happens also in the minds of our teenagers today. Sometimes, they think that what they can get in the world is better than what God can give them. Because God is a liar. God is trying to take something away from me. So I better go to the world to get it. You see, if God ever lied to you, it means he cannot be trusted. It means that ego said, look, if you go this way, it shall be well with you. It shall be well with your life. It shall be well with your future. If he can't be trusted, then you don't have any motivation to obey him. But when God speaks to you, I tried to explain something to someone. Someone said, oh, but when Adam and Eve sinned, why didn't God just forgive them and wipe off the consequence? Like, no consequence because he has forgiven them. I said, by the way, God forgive them. You just don't understand that he did. Because if he didn't forgive them, he would destroy them immediately. But the problem is this. If God said, the day you eat this, you will surely die. If he didn't surely die, God has lied. That means that God has stopped being God. One of the things that God prides himself most on is that he is faithful and true. The day God stops being faithful and true, he's no longer God. So when God speaks to you, you can take it to the bank. God is true. He said, you shall surely die. If it didn't happen, God has resigned. You know, like in this country, not every country, but in this country, when politicians are cut out, you know, I said it that way. You know, when something comes out in the news and they say, look, oh, this is what this politician did, and they see that there's no room for escape. What do? They resign. They are not resigning because they are truly sorry. They are resigning because they were caught. Because if they were not caught, would they resign? Are you with me? God cannot deny himself. Bible says, if we are unfaithful, God remains faithful to his word and his righteous character. You see, when we are unfaithful, we are the ones that lose. I said, God, technically speaking, God is not faithful to you. I know it's like I'm turning theology upside down. God is faithful to his word and his righteous character because he cannot deny himself. So if you want God to be faithful to you, align yourself with his word. Amen. He's faithful. So that's why God said, you shall surely die, it will happen. Well, what God does is that God makes a way. He makes a remedy. Yeah? He makes a remedy. But his word still has to be. So for God to bring us back from death, someone else had to pay the price. That way God will not break his law or his word. So I want to dig a bit. I just want to show you because when you see this, you see how it applies to our lives today. Serpent says, God said you shall surely die. But serpent said no. Please read it in your Bible. Come on. I want to show you something. That serpent, like brother just said, he used language. Language can be used to deceive you. Phonetics can be used to deceive you. Effects. Yeah? You know, there's some churches here. I don't know about UK, but at least in US, they have special effects at the background. When people are singing, you see holy smoke. Holy smoke does not replace and is not equivalent to the Shekinah glory of God. It's just man's effect. Don't get carried away by the effects. You know, I know a church in Nigeria, you know, they are into the thousands, but it's all effects. They invite all the great ministers of songs to come and sing in their church. They pay money, it's expensive, there's red carpet, it's all effects. When the serpent was to come in, it comes in with effect to captivate you. Can you just read that place for me? I wanted to show you something. Please, before you read it, please, let's go to Genesis 2. So, because I'm going to do many parts of this message, so I'm not in a hurry. Just teach a little. We'll continue next time. Genesis chapter 2, look at verse. Genesis 2. I'm looking for where God commanded Adam. So verse 16. No, verse 16 and 17. Genesis, let me go to this side. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Yes, I'm not calling you today. Genesis 2, 16 and 17. Because you read it last time.
Yeah. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die.
Thank you. Now go to Genesis 3 and read verse 4.
Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die.
For amen. God,
amen.
That's verse 4. Can you see what I'm trying to show you there?
Yeah.
The devil has used language, effects, and everything to meander, meander, meander. But what way is getting you to is to tell you that what God said is not true. God said, you shall surely die. The devil said, you shall not. But he didn't say it immediately. He didn't say it immediately. This was even before any offer of you'll be like God. Yeah? He meandered. So I want to tell you something today. In order for the serpent to deceive Eve, the first strategy is distraction. You cannot be deceived until you are distracted. Praise the Lord. When you are distracted, you are on the pathway of deception. As I said in Proverbs chapter 4, I said, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to what? My sayings. Don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Amen? How do we give attention? One of the ways to give attention is fellowship. Because whether you like it or not, in the place of fellowship, you'll be reminded. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's why it's very dangerous when a believer is out of fellowship. They will be distracted. They will say things you will never expect them to say. They will do things you will never expect them to do. And if you're not careful, they will quote the Bible. Praise the Lord. You know, if I stop this sermon there, you've learned something. Amen? It's distraction. The devil will come like a serpent to distract. Then when you are distracted, he will throw you a blatant lie. A full load. You know, God says, you shall surely die. The devil says, you shall not surely die. It's full load. Praise the Lord. So that's why he was deceived. She was distracted. And then she took on the lie. And like Esther said, the first lie is, you shall not surely die, which is actually the full lie. Now, it's just now developing. After having laid down the full lie, he now gives her extra. He said, God knows that when you eat it, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So, what he's saying there basically is that God is withholding something good from you. There is something good that God does not want you to have. Yeah? That's how temptation works. That's how you see someone, they move on from the pathway of truth and go and try evil. I know I said last time, I said, before the serpent came to Eve, all Eve I've ever experienced in her life is good. So it was not a fight to know good. It was an attempt to taste evil. How can I be attempting to taste evil just to be like God? Okay, let me change it. When God made them, God put them in innocence. Somebody say innocence. Anybody like innocence? Okay, let's change it. Anybody like to be innocent? Anybody like to be guilty? The key, yeah, to being innocent is to stay in innocence. You put them in innocence. Let me show you how innocence is achieved. Innocence is achieved by trusting God. God did not bring before Adam and Eve the battle of evil. The tree there was to protect them from knowing evil. All they needed to do is just stay in innocence and trust God. Let God deal with the evil. How do you? You trust and obey. God says, go left, go left. He says, go right, go right. Don't bother about what's happening on the other side. Because if you go there, you will know evil. Now, let me just explain something to you. Before this temptation, Adam and Eve went naked physically. But they did not know that they were naked. Now, let me see how we're doing it now, with time. Thank you. So we still have some time. Now, the question is, let me try some, because I know you are very intelligent. What is the difference what is the issue or the difference between being naked and knowing you are naked in terms of emotions? That's what it does to you. Someone is naked. They didn't know, but now they know. What does it do to them? How does it change things for them? Think? Yeah, let's start with.
Shameful.
Shame! Shame enters. Yes, there's more. It can go deeper. Come on, church. naked. But you don't know. You're in innocence and you're just enjoying your life. But now you know that you're naked. What does it do to you? What does it, how does it affect your life from that moment?
Make you fearful.
Fear! Shame! Fear! Come on, there's more.
Embarrassment!
Come on, there's more. Yes, vulnerability. Is there one more? You feel uncovered. Uncomfortable, uncovered, or discovered. Yes? Sorry? Frightened. I'm taking you to this test that sometimes when you just read, we miss all these things. And I'm trying to show you. Innocence gives you, it's a place of being divinely covered. Someone say, you've been a Christian for a long time. So you don't know about all these evil things. Yes, it's the best life. You don't need to taste evil to know evil. You just need to trust God. Let me explain that again. You don't need to taste evil to know evil. Just trust God. If God says it's not good, don't go and taste it. And start learning from bitter experience. It's better not to. Praise God. Are you following? Said you will, you he sold, you know, after the devil has given you a blatant lie, he can sell you anything and you will believe it. The moment you can believe that God lied, you can believe any lie. Let me repeat that because I don't think that's sunk in. The moment I believe that God does not have my best interest, I can swallow any other thing the devil is ready to sell me. And so, after she has swallowed it all up, then, of course, she saw. It's not curiosity. Verse 6 is no longer curiosity. Verse 6 now is just, as at verse 6, she was finished. By the time Eve got to verse 6, there was no going back. She was going to... Because all the everything that will make her do the wrong thing is already set in. So, what I can put it to you that the tree was not as beautiful as she saw it. When you are deceived, what is not beautiful? Will look what? A man who is deceived, for example, the woman on the outside looks more beautiful than the wife at home. Even if the wife was a beauty model and he married her, it's deception. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. And all the time, let me see how we're doing, because I want to just give you a bit more teaching. I'm showing you things I did not see as a young Christian. So yeah, you're benefiting, you know, from that revelation. So Eve was deceived. Let's go to 1 Timothy 2. Open your Bible to 1 Timothy 2. This is not about gender. This is about order. Remember what I'm saying. This is not about gender. It's about what? Order. God is a God of order. Anybody like disorder? Anybody like chaos? God is a God of order. Can we say that together? God is a God of order. 1 Timothy 2. Let me just chip in something, then we'll go back to Genesis 3. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. Remember, this is not about gender. It's is about order. Yes, 1 Timothy 2:13. Do you want to have a go?
For Adam was first formed.
For Adam, listen to this. This is Bible. For Adam was first formed. Yes?
Then Eve.
Then, Eve. After Adam was formed, Eve was taken out of Adam. Let me pause there. You can't change it. You can't change it. That is the truth. The old truth. And nothing but what? The truth. You know who laid it down? The only wise God. It's not a mistake. The Lord God is a God of purpose. And by him, actions are... Wait, you know that verse? There's a reason why Adam was first formed. You can't argue it with feminism or modernism. The wisest of all wisest laid it down like that. Adam was first formed. And then what? And you know, just so you don't get it twisted, it didn't form Eve independently of Adam. It took Eve out of what? Adam. So technically, Eve is a descendant of Adam. But let me balance it. Remember that if Eve came out of Adam, they have the same DNA. So they have the same class. I'm not inferior to my dad. We have the same class. But in terms of order, I respect my dad. Yeah? Because he's my father. It doesn't mean I can't go further in life than he has. Because I have the capacity. Yeah? If Eve came out of Adam, they have this capacity. It's of the same kind. They have the capacity. She's not inferior. But in order, Adam comes first. Are you following? That's divine order. You can't change it. The day you try to change it, you become wiser than God. Please continue that line.
And Adam was not deceived.
Listen to that part. This is something that revolutionized my understanding of Genesis chapter 3. Adam was not what?
Deceived.
Can we just say that together? Say,
Adam
was not deceived.
Was not deceived.
Yeah, continue.
But the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression.
Amen. Amen. So what I'm trying to teach you something. I'm not talking about every man here. I'm not talking about every man. I'm talking about Adam and Eve. Adam was not deceived. But Adam sinned. Adam was not deceived, but he sinned. If he didn't sin, God would not have to give him any consequences. Yeah? It was Eve that was deceived. Let me ask you a question now. Why is it that Adam was not deceived and it was Eve? I mean, Adam could have been deceived, maybe. He's not a human being. Why do you think Eve was deceived but Adam was not deceived? Come on, Jack. Try. Think about it. Yes, try. It was Eve that was deceived. Adam was not deceived.
Adam was the one who was given the instruction. God gave him that instruction, isn't it?
Yes. And who gave Eve the instruction?
Adam gave the instruction to Eve.
That's why when you read your Bible, you see Eve said, God has said, we shall not eat it, or even what? Touch it. God did not say that to Adam. You know, if God told me, Ben, do not eat this tree. You know what I would tell my wife? Don't eat it. Don't touch it. Don't even go near it. For my sake, I beg you, don't go near. Yes? Can you just help me? Why was it that Eve was it, but... Okay, let's assume for now that Eve was just unlucky. No, I don't want to change your answer. Let's hear your answer first. Yeah, ask a question. I don't mind. We are rounding up gradually.
Yeah. I wanted to ask whether Adam and Eve were in the same place when the serpent was there, or...
Well, it doesn't look like. Because we don't see Adam until after she finished eating. Okay. Just for that reason.
So was that, why, could that be a reason why Adam was not deceived? So if Adam was there...
Yes, maybe. Maybe and maybe not. Because the answer to that question, why do you think the serpent went to Eve and not Adam? Come on, try. Go. You need an answer so that the young people not think, you know, I'm being feminist. I'm being chauvinistic.
Yeah, could it be because she wasn't the one God gave the instructions?
Yes. That's somewhere closer. But we are only speculating. But it's true. God did not give this instruction to Eve. Are you looking at me like, why? It's just like this. The word of God then does not come direct to your children. You have to train them. Sometimes I meet parents, you know, I hear parents say, Lord, keep my children from evil. It's a good prayer. But the foundation, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. So if as a parent, I don't train my children in the word of God, in the way of God, and I'm just saying, you know, I parents say, don't let, you know, their peers influence them to evil. But the key to that is you fed them the word. You must feed them the word. You must give them the word. You must take time and study the Bible. You know, they must see that you respect the authority of the word and you teach them. Then when you've given them the tool they need for their generation, you can now back it up with prayer. But you spend all the time moving them from party to activity, you know, to swimming, from swimming to drama, you know, and you're not giving them the word of God, you are not preparing them for the evil day. And the evil day always comes because there's an adversary. He doesn't care. He doesn't mind his business. Are you with me? So, yes, Adam was given instruction, but God did not do that to disadvantage Eve. The reason why Adam was given instruction, it was even given before Eve was formed. Just like you, if you know God before your children are born, you know God. But when they come in, you must teach them. So, it was Adam's job to teach Eve. Yeah? But somewhere along the line, that's why I proved to you that it's a distraction problem. The serpent knew that it was easier to distract Eve. For whatever reason. Or maybe a revelation of that was less, you know, whatever reason. I need to round up, but I just need to chip this in. If Adam was not deceived, why did he eat? Let's round it up there, and then we'll continue next week. Think about it. This is Bible verse, 1 Timothy 2, telling you, 16, that Adam was not what? Deceived. So that means that being deceived is not the only reason why people sin. Hello? Being deceived is not the only reason why people sin. In fact, the sin that brought us all into spiritual death was not a consequence of deception. Because Adam was not deceived.
I think it's because Adam loved Eve so much and he decided to choose Eve over God.
Yes. I agree with that. I agree with it. But there's something I wanted to say that I didn't see for a long time. Yeah? Adam was not deceived. So we assume that he was not that weak. Yeah? Adam knew that God took Eve out of him, yeah? Adam knew that God can do it again if he wants. So why? Yes, it was a sin that to love what God gave you more than what who gave you is idolatry. It's a sin, no doubt about it. In fact, that was the real sin that brought man into spiritual death. Loving the creation. And that's the real temptation. The real temptation is not just about eating a fruit. When the serpent went to Eve, the target of the serpent was not Eve. The ultimate target of the serpent was Adam. Because Adam was the one that had the authority. So he's just going through Eve. So the serpent can go through what you love to get you. And I want to say now that by going through what you love, he may not deceive you, but he has another strategy. What is it? You know it. You know it. If the devil cannot deceive you, what else can he do to make you sin? Come on, think about it. You are not deceived. You know something is wrong. You know that you know that you know that it's wrong. But what will make you do it anyway? I believe that we've all been there. That you've done something wrong. While you were doing it, you knew this is wrong. When Eve was eating, she didn't know it was wrong anymore. She was deceived. Eve was under influence. That's why alcohol is not good for you. It was under influence when she was eating. As I think Eve was eating now, she really believed that this is good. I will be wiser and I will be better. But Adam was not. So what will make me do something wrong when I know that it's wrong, clearly I'm not deceived? What? No. By the way, you know, before Adam sinned, he never knew fear. Adam did not know fear. He didn't know shame. He didn't know anything. Not until he ate. Oh, by the way, I want to say something. Do you notice that? After Eve ate, nothing happened to her. Until Adam ate. Then the eyes of both of them. So it shows where the authority is. Okay, let me tell you. Let me show you. This is the last one. Genesis 3. Go to Genesis 3. Let me have a youth now. So maybe Stephen or Elmi. This is the last one for today. For time. Then we just continue next time. Genesis, I tell you, this one, I just saw it, you know, this year. As I was just reading and meditating, I saw something I'd never seen before, just like I saw something today. Genesis chapter 3. Can you just read verse 6 again? Somebody, one of the youth, help me or Stephen, who is ready? Genesis 3, 6. Genesis 3, 6? Yes, thank you. The last one. Go on, please.
The woman was convinced.
Yes.
She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too.
Okay. Thank you. That's now, if you read that, you'll be like, what is Pastor saying here? The second power that Satan uses, there are two powers of Satan that he uses in the life of men. The first is deception. That's why it's called the father of lies. Yeah? But there's another title they call him. They call him a murderer. Did you ever read that? He's a murderer from the beginning. The second power Satan has or uses is the power of coercion. The devil cannot deceive you. He will pressurize you. He will pressurize you. You can do something bad because you were under pressure. You knew it was wrong. So Eve pressurized Adam. When you read, he gave it to her. You think, oh, okay, Adam, you know, I found this beautiful, you know, fruit in the garden. No, when he was giving, Adam saw, this is the fruit God said. I can hear Adam saying, Eve, this is the fruit God said. Eve sat on his head. If you don't eat this, I will disown you. No dinner. I'm not talking to you for 1 week. I'm not doing anything for you. You have to eat it. You have to sign it now. Sign it now. Let's rise up. I just took you a bit deeper. So, we be sober, be vigilant. Let's just recognize the strategy of the devil. Adam was pressurized until he gave in. And if you read what I just read today, it was flipped over. Because when God was asking Adam, he said, the woman you gave to be with me. But when you read it in verse 6, he said, her husband was with her. Eve is supposed to be with Adam. But in verse 6, it's Adam being with Eve. Or is Adam joining Eve to do what Eve wanted? Okay, let's rise up and pray. I believe that God, as you go back, you just see it. So, one of the things we learned today is to beware of distraction. He said, give attention. If I give attention, I stay in innocence and I enjoy the blessing. And I keep the serpent out. Yeah? Just by trusting God. Just by trusting God. Because I do this, I do it. I don't want to know the consequence of not doing it. Because that would be to experience evil. I just want to do it and enjoy the blessing. Amen? No distraction. You stay focused on what God wants you to do. You will keep the serpent far away. When you are distracted, it can sell you a lie. In fact, it can sell you a blatant lie. And depending on how much you are studying, you can believe it. You can rationalize it. You know, she rationalized it. After she received the lie, she rationalized, this tree is nice. And if I eat it, I will be wise. Yeah? And then, even when you are not deceived, you know, like, there's something you say, I will never do. No matter what happens, I can't do this. Beware of pressure. Pressure has influence on you based on what you love. So there are some things that are right. I mean, Eve was not a sin. Was Eve a sin? No. Who gave Eve to Adam? Was it not God? It was legitimate. But I cannot still love what God created or gave me more than him because it will be tested. God gave Abraham Isaac. Is Isaac? Yeah? And God told him that it is through this Isaac that you have your descendants. But yet, God told him, take Isaac. If Abraham did not, he would have loved Isaac more than God. Then he would have truncated the blessing. And that was the failure of Adam. So, whatever you love, even if it's legitimate, don't love it too much more than God. Because it can bring pressure your way that will make you compromise.